WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday season here. And, of course, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour never stops. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday morning with my pal Dan Rodericks, who had a show, Baltimore, You Have No Idea. I hope he brings it back. I'm going to beg him to do that so other friends of mine who love Baltimore can be a part of that. Next Thursday, my love of Baltimore will come through. We are doing the 31st anniversary of this year's radio program, and we're doing it over in Costas and Dundalk in my homeland with a lot of friends. I am a part of a Hammerjacks documentary that we filmed earlier this year, and a lot of rock and rollers are stopping by. Gina Shock from the Go-Go's, the Dundalk resident Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and drummer. We're going to get to know her a little bit better next Thursday as well. So plan on the 15th. If you want to come out, we'll be there from 2 until 5 or thereabouts, probably eating crabs, crab cakes, maybe even drinking some eggnog before it's all over with. I'm going to be inviting my pal, Mike Rosenfeld. He is the chief digital officer for all things here at Baltimore Positive as we grow and go. And you've seen this week, we've offered some Otter transcriptions for conversations just like this. And he can help you make your website better or your business better at Web Connection, the outsourced chief digital officer. What's going on, man? You got to play quarterback for the Ravens this week, or you don't have the speed on the edges?
No, I was an average cornerback and tight end, but that was for the mighty, mighty Pikesville Panthers.
You guys wore purple. I remember that.
We were. Was it the Dundalk Owls?
Owls, the mighty Owls. Give a hoot. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Kelly Green and gold. Absolutely.
I remember the Dundalk Owls. My year, we were typically what do my kids say? Defeated, the opposite of undefeated. We were defeated. So we were a zero win team, maybe a one win team. But my senior year, we went 4-6, which was a major accomplishment.
That's bowl eligible.
That's right. Yeah, we were one game short of bowl eligibility.
What's crazy is they talk about the Ravens coming to town and how it would affect children, right? So the Ravens come in 1996. There weren't a whole lot of football programs in Dundalk. I played football for the Longhorns, John Rollo. There's pictures of it all in the 70s, early 80s. And there weren't, like, football driving around town on Saturdays. You wouldn't see it as much as baseball, right? Or basketball, right? I mean, it's a huge basketball city with Dunbar and all that. And we had kids that played baseball, right? But football was one of those things that, like, you know, because we didn't have a team for those 13 years, you didn't have a Ray Lewis, you didn't have a Lamar Jackson, you didn't have somebody you wanted to be. It is amazing all these years later, because my football team in the 80s, Dundalk, you know, we weren't very good. We were really good at baseball. We were state champs at baseball in 83, but football, no good. The last like 10 years, there's a football program at Dundalk. We were in the semifinals, almost went to the states last week. We were in the state championship last week and had a lead over Mervo. My team's actually gotten decent. So, you know, I am I'm about to sing the Let Each Fellow Join Our Chorus, Echo Far and Near. So I'll do all that. In the web space, and you and I talk about this all the time, what's the primary thing people call you about at Web Connection?
I think we've talked about this in the past. The concept of a chief digital officer, much less an outsourced chief digital officer, is very new and foreign to people. So it's really once they have an aha moment and they're like, you know what, I know enough to know that I'm not competing, or I know enough to know that I keep hearing or seeing on searches online my competitors, I have no presence, we're doing the best we can, we post to Facebook, we post to LinkedIn, but nothing's happening. That's when they have a moment where, like, we need help. We just don't have the know-how in-house to be able to grow our business, gain some market share, and we need some help, but we're not going to hire someone full-time. So that's kind of my sweet spot. So it really takes it's not really a question, because they don't know enough to ask the question other than, can you help me get to another level? And when they're open-minded and they're willing to admit that they aren't doing it right, that's kind of the conversation starter for me.
Well, you know, the amazing thing for me is in the modern era, I'm sort of old school, right? I'm still the guy that will call if I go to call Pizza John's, I call them, right? And I'll say, I want a, you know, pizza with pineapple, ham and pepperoni, and, you know, give me a cheesesteak, and I come and get it, right? But it is amazing in the last 10, 15 years, especially with this thing coming on in 08, 09, 10, in that range, how every Chinese carryout has to have a really sophisticated way for me to order egg foo young and maybe take the onions out of it, or, you know, whatever it would be. And a lot of times with immigrants, and there's a communication barrier when you would call a Chinese place sometimes about what you want. And it's amazing online now, like when I go to Ekebin, there is no one to call. You can't call. You have to do it online. If I want my tempura broccoli from Ekebin, I have to do it that way. And I think to myself, every single business has had to take their business online no matter what. I mean, you just have to. And how neophyte most people are, including myself. I mean, I own a web company. I own a radio station, and I don't even know how the tower works or how the things float and it gets to your car. Understanding it's not important. It's really about, can I order the food I want? Can I order the thing I want? I order clothing on Black Friday. I'll give you an example. I order clothing. I have this company up in Canada that I order undergarments from. They keep me warm. I'm not going to out them, but they're French first. I didn't realize that. Even though they have sort of an American name, when you call their number, everything's in French. It's in Montreal, right? So they sent me an email, and this is just poor. I mean, I'm giving you a poor example. I spent $148 on Black Friday ordering six pieces of garments, turtlenecks, you know, long johns, that kind of thing. And I got an email from them that said, call us, there's a problem with your order. And here's the extension number. And I called and I got French. And I did it three times over 3 days, trying to stalk down a guy named Don in Canada to confirm an order. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of company are you people running? You send me an email telling me to call you. They called me eight different times, 514 area code. And I'm not answering the phone. I'm talking to Mike on the air. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, then they canceled my order. They gave me my money back. And I'm like, what kind of company are you running? Who's running your place? I gave you money for something I really want, and you're jagging me around. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a business that needs something better than they have online, for sure.
So, you know, as consumers, I think we've come to a point where we judge the businesses that we deal with based upon how tech savvy they are. Now,
I got thrown off of Twitter this week, and I can't figure out how to get back on. There's no one to call. There's no one to go. You fill out a form, and it's people are asking me, why'd you get thrown off? Well, A, I don't know. B, there's nobody I can call. C, it's Twitter, and it's run by a Nazi. And I'm off now. And you know what? It's been the most productive week of my year.
Right.
Tell anyone.
Well, so I'll give you two examples of, and they're totally just different, but two examples of things that I did this week that are a tech experience and a non-tech experience. So the tech experience, which ties into sports, was Friday night. I'm out with some friends having a couple cocktails.
You're gambling. Were you gambling?
I was not.
Okay. All right.
I just decided at that moment that at 9 a.m. the next morning, I was going to host a couple of friends for Bloodies and Bagels, I called it, to watch the U.S. World Cup. So I made the commitment. I got commitment from four guys to come over at 9 a.m. And I'm like, oh, I have to wake up early to get the bagels. And oh, I went home. I didn't have vodka and I didn't have the Bloody Mary mix. And I'm like, how am I going to get all this stuff? What an idiot. Now I got to hustle. I got to hope I don't wake up with a slight little hangover. I got to get a good night's sleep. So I get home and I open my iPad. I order bagels to be ready to be picked up at 7 a.m. so that I don't have to worry about a line. I can just go in. And I marked all the things I had to do, figured out how long it would take with enough time. By the time I was done and had everything set up, ding dong, the first person's here. Everyone had a great time except for the game, of course. That's scenario one, like leveraging technology to make a plan. Two, and this is not unusual, in my experience, people who are in the home improvement service technician industry are always the slowest to adopt technology. So now I get home that from that night and I realize one of my two zones of heat doesn't work. So I have someone come out here. They're like, yep, you need a part. We're going to have to order the part. So that's on Saturday. We're sitting here now on Wednesday. They said it should be here right away. No part. So now I'm 5 days, getting into my fifth day without having heat in my home. Thank God it's not below, you know, freezing outside. And I'm like, well, did they send you the part? Yes. Do you have a tracking number so I can get a sense of when it's? No, they don't have a tracking number.
See, that's me. I buy these belt buckles on eBay, every single one of them, and I'm not obsessed with it, but the mailing out, the in-transit, the expected delivery date, the tracking number, I mean, and that's the world today. It overwhelms me to be real. It's an amazing thing seeing these Amazon trucks running up and down here and delivering stuff at holidays, right?
And it's like, it's almost 2023. Are you telling me now? My company happens to be working from home offices, but if I'm someone who is, you know, my house is empty during the day and I have to plan to take a day off to meet someone, and you're telling me there's no tracking number, there's no this. Come on now.
Yeah, cable guy, he'll be there this week. When? Sometime this week. Sometime
exactly.
Between 8 and 11 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, like, narrow it down for me here a little bit, you know?
Exactly. So, you know, and then you're like, okay, anyone can open up and find that there's a circuit board in my thing that needs to be replaced. I'm not going to use this company again. I'm making an educated decision and a mental note that next time, do not call this company and call another one who seems to be on top of their game that can communicate in a little better way. I can also relate to what you're saying about Twitter and trying to figure that out. One of the things you asked me that a lot of my clients call about, sometimes I get a lot of calls about when you Google my business, I have multiple addresses that come up. Like, I used to be here, but then I moved to there. And now I have both of those profiles are showing up on Google. And one of them has like three reviews and the other one has 50. But the one that has three reviews has one-star review and it looks really, really bad. How do I get rid of that one? And I'm like, you got to call Google. And unfortunately...
Call Google? What? You told me to call Google, I'd say, there ain't no Google there. Who am I calling?
Now, here's what's worse. That office that manages that, Google has outsourced to India. And literally, since the virus, that office has not reopened. So you have to struggle to try to figure out. And this is a technology giant, of course.
I know they have money.
Yeah, it's just insane. So it's all over the place.
Mike Rosenfeld's here. He is my dude at Web Connection. They are outsourced chief digital officers. He helps us run our website. If you've seen, we started transcribing conversations out on the front for your reading pleasure, as well as our Google crawl pleasure. Football and sports. You know, I had John Martin on from the Maryland Lottery. We're talking about wagering and sports wagering and mobile wagering. I was at a friend of mine's office on Tuesday night. And his son, who's not a young son, he's a 30-year-old son, so he's like your kids or my kid, right? Old enough to wager. You're talking a little World Cup with him. And I'm like, hey, man, he's like, I made some money on Morocco today. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, bad, 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 bad. But more than that, the World Cup, I mean, I'm going to miss it when it's gone. And I didn't really think I wanted the World Cup in November, December. I prefer June and July, right? And so do the soccer players all over the world as well. And it'll be here now, less than 4 years from now, right? Because they're playing this at the end of the year. So it's 3.5 years now that this is going to come here. The World Cup, even if you're not the biggest World Cup fan or soccer fan or sports fan, it has been a part of vernacular for people that I never knew were soccer. I mean, I didn't know this guy was a soccer fan at all. He's like, yeah, I figured, you know, 50-50 chance in PKs. I got the 130 on Morocco, and I figured they're playing well. They might win. I won $13. I bet 10.
Right.
and I'm thinking sports has become something completely different right before my very eyes, my 31st anniversary next week on Tuesday of doing this every day of my life, talking to sports fans every day of my life, talking to gamblers, wagers, people that purple flamingos on their lawn. But the sports wagering and the mobile thing, from a tech standpoint, this has opened up an incredible can of worms for possibilities, even for a guy like me that I'm not a gambler, but like, I know England's not going to win. So I'm,
right.
So I'm going to, you know, I mean, there's a part of this where you're like, all right, you know, I'll bet on Brazil or whatever, make it a little more fun for 10 or 20 bucks, which feels even, I don't know, even different than doing it on football for me, because for so many years I've watched football and never really gambled on football. Most weeks I didn't even know the line on Ravens
right.
games. Over the last 15 years, people would say, hey, they nasty, the Ravens favorite. And I'm like, I really don't know. I don't gamble on the stuff, you know?
Yeah. So interesting you say that, because around the time that the World Cup started, Maryland was able to now start using DraftKings and whatever other mobile apps that are out there. And interestingly, both of my children are like, because their generation is totally into sports gambling. They're into
something different than you and I. You and I were into Baltimore. Oh, it's Baltimore. I love my town. They're more into like, oh, it's fantasy sports. And it's just entertainment to them. It has no civic value to them, I don't think, to anyone under the age of 35. They see it for the mercenaries and the Chad Steeles that are behind all of this.
I have a very tough time imagining, and I'm not against it. This is just my own thing, but participating in fantasy football and hoping members of the Steelers have a good game, but the Steelers lose, you know, I mean, I don't know how to justify that. I never got into it.
People would say, you should do a fantasy show. And I'm like, nobody cares what running back I'm starting. No,
right.
Really, they don't. I mean,
right.
And I had people come to me for years and years, and I'm like, if you're into it, you're into it. God bless you. Go win your $500 pot at the end of the year. They do these playoff games in the middle of like the games that don't matter the next 3 weeks when the Eagles are resting guys or whatever. Like, I've never understood fantasy football. Never played it, never had any interest in it. But there is an interest in me this week that I'd say, you know, if the Chiefs are 6-point favorites one way or another, would I bet $10 or $20 and to have action or whatever? I'm way more inclined to do it now than I've ever been, because I didn't want to have to find Louis the bookmaker. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like calling my games in and like all the stuff that I, quite frankly, I had degenerate employees here for years that did this stuff. And I'm like, the hell's wrong with you guys? Now that it's on your phone, it feels a little bit more like buying a flight or something, or ordering neck up in tempura.
it does. I, you know, look, my kids are adults, but they're still my kids. So I kind of check them. I even asked one of my sons, I said, have you won or lost more than five figures in a year? They're like, no. And I'm like, okay. So basically you can afford to do what you're doing, because I know that for some people it's a legitimate disease, but both of my kids are trying to put me in a position to see if I can resist being diseased, because they both said, hey, DraftKings now gives you $50 for free. You have to gamble it. But if you get it, I also get $50. I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here. You know,
it's a Ponzi scheme.
That's right. So, but everyone who I hear says, look, if you can control yourself and bet 10 bucks, like you'd buy a movie ticket, it really does change how you look at sports, and you're on the edge of your seat till the end, where under normal circumstances, like yesterday,
I go to bed.
Yeah. I was flipping back and forth to watch the Illinois Texas game, hoping the team that the Terps just beat will beat the number two team in the country. That'll help us. But if I had 10 bucks on it, I would have probably watched it from the beginning to the end. So I get that part of the appeal and that entertainment, as long as you can control yourself.
Well, it's 'tis the season. Mike Rosenfeld's here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Fadley's this week, as well as next Thursday at Casas. You're invited out for the rock and roll action. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Big offer from Window Nation is 0% financing. And you buy two, you get two free. 866-90-NATION is the way to do that. All right, let's get onto the field for a minute, because I do want to do a little bit of sports with you while I have you here. The Lamar injury, eat what he checks last week. You know, Lamar's going to have a backseat here for a couple weeks. It looks that way. And this is a dour sort of prescription for the Ravens right now to be playing 4 out of 5 games against division teams. When the schedule came out, it looked like a benefit that Cleveland and Pittsburgh will be mailed in by then, and we're going to be sailing. And it certainly doesn't feel good in the Purple Kingdom right now that this team can win a Super Bowl. Can they make the playoffs week in? Sure. I watched Kansas City play last week. I watched Cincinnati play last week. I watched Buffalo play last week. The Ravens, as comprised, and certainly with the backup quarterback, they're not in the same world as these other teams right now. They're a mediocre football team right now, at best.
Yeah. So I'm trying not to put my Homer hat on, but I was in Austin, Texas, flying there during the Bills game, so I didn't see it. But I know that we were within striking distance of winning that game. And that's when they were killing other teams and all that. So there's part of me that says, and I also remember the 2 Super Bowl runs where no one expected us to, you know, we kind of snuck in, that we were wild card teams, and we just stacked wins. So there's part of me that's like, if you're playing your best football at the end of the year and you grow, that's it. Well, when your starting quarterback is out in December, this feels very familiar, like last year where, as well as Huntley did, there was just something different. So the hope of putting your best foot forward, playing your best football game, everything gelling, for weeks, even, the defense has been looking better and better and better. The offense, not so much. So I agree with you. I watched begging the Chiefs to beat the Bengals because I want to win the division. I want to have a home game. And I looked at the Bengals and I'm like, how can I just don't feel like we're a better team. I feel like we have to be one game ahead of them going into Cincinnati and having the division record tiebreaker in our favor if we split against Cincinnati. So that's what I keep looking at. I keep looking at Cincinnati still has the Bills on their schedule. So it'll be very interesting to see. I mean, I think we can eke out a win against the Steelers, but the Steelers are playing better. But I like our defense against their offense, but I don't like our offense against their defense. So this will be very telling. I have no idea how long Lamar's out. I know that's a...
Well, they're lying about it anyway. I mean, that's part of the gig. Part of the gig is you go out there and attend press conferences. Luke goes out there asking questions, going to lie to him. I'm going to write a little bit about this week, I think, a columnist, which is... And I kind of got on this bent earlier when I was talking to Mike Flynn earlier in the week, just about you draft this kid, you know he's going to run into linebackers, you know you can't coach it out of him. And I'm wondering out loud, and this is all part of giving him $250 million or not, is there ever going to be a healthy version of him in December or January in any way when he's taken on 150, 200, 250 hits in September, October, November? And this is an intellectual question as much as anything. I've watched a lot of football. And the reason nobody drafted him isn't because they didn't like him or think he's a running back or think that he couldn't throw the ball or he wouldn't be a decent pocket. I'll hear all the complaints about Lamar, but Lamar runs into linebackers. And at some point, that made me nervous in the beginning. It made me nervous in the middle. And now that we're 5 years into this, and he was way less than healthy in October and November 2 years ago during the plague. I'm talking about the plague season where nobody was at the stadium. Go back and watch those October. I was up in Philadelphia for that Eagles game. He didn't want to run the ball. He was unhealthy in the middle of the year. Last year, it ended, right? It just ended. He had a sickness. He didn't play in Chicago. He came back. He played in Cleveland. It was all over with at Thanksgiving, and he's gone. Now here we are in December, and they're lying about his injury, right? So like whatever they're saying, they're not telling you the truth. So however long he's going to be out. But I know he's not available. He wasn't available last week. He's not available this week. Probably won't be available next week. And then you have to say to yourself, how healthy is he really going to be on January the 8th to play Cincinnati to get into the playoffs? And then once you get there, because if he's not healthy, I don't want to say he's worthless, but he's not a great passer. He's not a great commander of the game. He's not like, if he's got to stand back in the pocket and act like a normal quarterback, they're going to lose. He can't win that way. Part of the game for him is he can't have 80% of his wheels or 90% of his wheels. He has to have 101% of his wheels for this particular offense and what they want to do, which they want to run him 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 times a game when they're behind in the third and fourth quarter. There's been nothing about this. And again, I don't want to piss on them too, but they're 8-4, right? They're 8-4, and people want to fire the coach. They want to fire DaCosta. They're yelling at Roman, and I'm thinking to myself, they're 8-4. I mean, I'm not. But the question is, you can be 8-4 with a beaten-up quarterback every December. Who would want that? Who would want that?
Yeah. So this is where it gets tricky because, I mean, you're in the business, but everyone has their opinion, right? I would begin by saying I think Lamar's great for the game. I think he's been a solid guy and a solid leader and is unbelievably talented and brings something unique to the game. So I'm going to start with that. But you asked some really solid questions. The first is he's representing himself. And he wants a deal that surpasses a ridiculous deal that everyone thinks is over the top that the Browns did, which is a losing organization for Deshaun Watson. So that's number one. Number two is I try to look objectively at teams that put a lot of money into their quarterbacks to see how competitive they are over years when they have so much money tied up into one position. And if you look at the numbers, I don't think that you'll see that there's a lot of teams that go and win multiple Super Bowls or even go to multiple Super Bowls when they have that. So that's something else. And the last thing I'd say to your point is forget about what Lamar is going to look like in January of this year. Think about if he's signed by any team and he continues to play the way he plays in January of 2025. In January of 2026, with all the abuse over the years based upon his running style, and would he be worth that max contract at that point that you've tied up in him? And I fear that the answer would be no to that. So he'd have to pivot the way he plays, or protect himself, or slide. But that's just my opinion.
I think when they're down 6 points in the third quarter and stuff's not working, I've seen this too much. He runs some more. It's RPO run, RPO run. I have doubts. I really do have doubts. Mike Rosenfeld is here. I have no doubt about him as our chief digital officer. He is Web Connection, the outsourced chief digital officers. You can find him out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com as well. You can find me at Fadley's on Friday, back at Costas on next Thursday, doing the holiday version in 31 years of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Luke is in Owings Mills all week long, brought to you by Royal Farms. We're getting ready for Pittsburgh week. We are BaltimorePositive.com.